Today's daf is daf Yudalad, so we'll take it from around 10 lines down, Yudalad Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, Amar Leih Rav L'Rav Acha Bar Dila. So Rav told Rav Acha Bar Dila, Kava D'Marika Ishli Gaveich. So he says, I have something by a certain a kava of, what's exactly?
Sapphire.
Okay. Saffron. Okay. So I have a kava of saffron with you, that's mine. Yahiv Leploni Bape. So give it to Ruin, let's say. Bape Kamin al Khadul Lahajibane in front of him. So I can't be Choser. So it's a din of the Maimon Shloshim. You need a third party there, and then you have Maimon Shloshim, and once you have Maimon Shloshim, the kinyan is complete, and I can't be Choser anymore. Michlal sounds like the Bay Hadarbe, Matar Hadarbe. Sounds like if he wanted, he could have been Choser. So again, Rashi, look at Rashi. Rashi says around 10 narrow lines down in Rashi, Ba'ape kamina l'cha, delod hajanabe. Hasha sakataitach. The havamina right now is the Hachi Amarle. Bifan of ani mafticha shlo achshabo. In front of him, I'm promising, I'm guaranteeing you that I'm not going to retract. So it's because he added that point that I'm not going to retract. But had he not said that, it sounds like Maimon Shloshim alone wouldn't be sufficient to create a kinyan. It wouldn't be sufficient to prevent a chazar. So is that really true? How could that be? We said above that Maimon Shloshim is actually a kinyan. How could they suggest that in theory he could have retracted? So the Gemara says, Hachi Kamar. What it means to say is, Dvarim Halalo, these things I'm telling you, in other words, giving it in front of him, having three people there, lo nitnu lechazar is not in general. He's just making a statement. He's making it clear that in general, the halach is that one cannot be chozer anymore. It is good for a kinnan. So then the question is, ha'amar Rav Chada Zimna? Didn't Rav already tell us this halacha once? Damar Rav Huna, amar Rav money li biyadeich. I have some money in your hand. Tineo lo leploni, give it to Ruvain, b'maimit shloshim, in the presence of three people. Kana, the halacha is etz kona, so you can't be chozer once it's a kinyan. So what's Rav saying here? What's the chiddushir? We already know Rav's well-known statement. So Gemara says, imiahi, have we had that case over there? His general statement in the name of Rav Huna Marav, havamina hani mili matanam ruba. I would think only when it comes to a larger type of gift, would you require that all those halachas are the same. Like a money, Rashi could go money, it's a significant amount of money. But a smaller type of gift, like this case of the saffron, which is a very, 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 very cheap, lowly by Bafanov. You don't require Bafanov at all, and even without Bafanov, it would be a good kinyan. Kamashvlan, even when it comes to Matan Muetis, that also requires three people in order for it to be a good acquisition. Okay. So the, okay, so the Gemara now says, "Hani ginai David chushban bahade hadade." These two bali gina, Rashi says, people who were selling vegetables, they made a calculation between the two of them. They did some business together and wanted to know. They split all the profits. Pash chamisha estari zuzei gavi chad minayim. Turns out when they did the calculations, they one of them took an extra five zuzim accidentally. So Amrilei, so he says to him, "Yavnu nalei." Mari Ara, I want you to give that extra money to Mari Ara, Ba'ape Mari Ara, in the presence of Mari Ara, Vikonamine. In this way, it will be an acquisition. So what's going on here? So Rashi explains here, Ba'ape Mari, Amrule Kai, Klomar Amrule Ba'ape Mari Ari, say in front of the owners of the land, Yahiv Nele Le Mari Ara, give it to the owners of the land. Sounds a little bit repetitive here. Which parties are exactly speaking here? So again, the Bali Gina were the ones who had a business together. And then they're supposed to split the profits, and turns out one of them had some extra money and didn't know what to do with it. So the Bali Gina said to the other one, give the money, the five slime, to the owner of the karka as some level of schar. And then say it in front of, I guess, the same person, and this way it will work as a kinyan. So again, Yavne Lehenale Le Mari Ara Ba'ape Mari Ara, and Kanamine, it's going to work as a kinyan. But the point is, though, they want the partner to collect the debt here. So the Rashi doesn't explain much here. Okay, no, that's where we're exactly. So the kinyan is going to work here. That's what they suggest. They give the money to the owner of the land, and in front of him, and it's going to be a maimed shlashtam, and it will work as a kinyan. So levasof, in the end of the day, we're on halfway down your dalad amin aleph levasof. Azil avid chushbana ben dilei lenashe. They end up for some reason checking the account for a second, checking all the numbers, and turns out lo pashkave lo midi, nothing was, there's actually no difference in the payment. Someone had miscounted by five, but it turns out they took exactly the same amount and there's no money owed. So now what happens is they already guaranteed that they're going to give money to the Balkarka, to the owner of the land. So us the Kami to Rav Nachman, they went to Rav Nachman to figure out what exactly was going on. And Amalei says to them, my Yavidcha, what am I supposed to do? Firstly, Rav Huna Amarav says that what it's a good kinyan. Maimon Shloshim is a good kinyan. V'od ha'kaneminech, and also he made a kinyan. I guess you actually gave it to him. It's chalipin as well. So in addition to Maimon Shloshim and wanting to give it, saying that you're going to give the money, that alone was enough. In addition to the chalipin that took place, the transfer of a little handkerchief between the Balkarka and the one giving the money, that requires one to have to now owe the five slime, the five zuzim, to the Balkarka. So Amalei Rava says now, so Rava somehow came into the picture here, Atu hai mi kamar, lo yavna deleka gavei kamar. Atu hai mi kamar, lo yavna deleka gavei kamar. So what's he saying here? What's Rava's response? So he says, is this person really able to make such a claim? That I don't want to give lo yavna. I don't want to give the money to the balkarka. The taina is that I don't have it, the money with me anymore. It was incorrect. I mean, the guys are saying I'm refusing to pay the money. They're talking about some five shlam which apparently never existed. So it's lo yavna. It's not next to him. Lo yavna again. Rava says atu hai mi kamar lo yavna. Is he saying I'm refusing to give the money? I guarantee it. He's saying the leka gavai kamar. I don't have that money. The money never existed. There was a mistake in the first place. So in light of that, Amar Lei, in Cain, if that's the case, so Rav Huna says, Kinyan Batal, so the whole acquisition in the first place was mistaken. The whole Kinyan Batal is Chozer. Any time there's a Kinyan that was based on some type of mistake, then the halacha is it's not a good Kinyan. And therefore, they would not have to owe the money to the Balkarka, even though there's Maimon Shloshtan, and even though there's Chalip Mundan, since it's all done Batalos, everything goes back. Gemara now says, Itmar, Holei Chamane Leploni, Shani Chayvla. So a person says, I want you to take, he says to a shliach, I want you to bring this money to Reuven, I owe Reuven money. So what's halacha? So Amar Rav says, Chay Bach Yusum, this shliach now is responsible to pay money. Let's say he loses the money along the way. I sent Reuven to pay Shimon. Reuven to my shliach. So Reuven, if he loses the money on the way to Shimon, Reuven is responsible to pay that money back. Then Rav says, "V'im balach sar inechoze." If I, as the mishalech, decide I want to retract, I don't want Reuven to send the money to Shimon. I'm not able to anymore. It's already considered in the Shimon's hands. So Shmuel comes along and says, "Amar mitoch shechay b'achriyus im balach sar choze." He says, "No." Shmuel says, "Since Reuven, as the shliach, is responsible to pay for anything lost, tells us that it's not considered in the hands of Shimon yet, and therefore I, as the mishalech, can be chozer whenever I want. Because if it got into the hands of Shimon already when Reuven takes it, then there would be no responsibility on Reuven, the shliach's hands, to have to pay it back. So what exactly is this machlokas, the Gemara wants to know? Lema b'ha kemifkli. Maybe they're arguing about the following. Demar savar holech kizachi dami. How does that fit in? So Rashi says, Rav Savar Holech Kizachi Dami. This is a little bit more than halfway down the page in Rashi's. Rav Savar Holech Kizachi Dami. He holds that the person who's sent to go, the Shiach who's sent to go, is as if he was Zoche on behalf of Shimon who's supposed to receive it. And that's why me as the Mishaleach, I can't be Chozer anymore. Because the Shaliach as a Holech already is Mekabalit. He's Zoche on behalf of Shimon, so I can't be Chozer. How come Umiyu Chai Bachuyuso? So how come if the Shliach Reuven loses the money, he has to pay back if it's already considered in the hands of Shimon? So Rashi explains Shamal Valotzivel Lemosan Lazer. He's responsible because he made a mistake. Rather, what's happening here, I think, is that I, as a mishalach, I'm really an agent for the initial bank. The bank appointed me a shliach, and now me as a shliach, I'm appointing a new shliach, Reuven, to bring it over to Shimon. So the bank never told me to give it to some other person then, and that's why there's a responsibility, there's a certain negligence I'm responsible for in this case. Okay. So then, according to Shmuel, though, Shmuel says, no, we don't view holech kezachidami. If I'm sent as a shliach, I'm not considered being zoche on behalf of Shimon. And therefore, the mishalach, the bank, whatever it is, can be chozer, because no one is zoche yet. That's the initial understanding of this machlokas. The Gemara says, no, not true. Lotan, dechuliyama holech kezachidami. Really, everybody agrees a holech, a shliach, is considered kezachidami. And when I, the shliach, take it, it's as if Shimon already receives it. So what's the machlokas then? They're arguing about marsavar lo amin amigo, marsavar amin amigo. Whether we say amigo here or not. What's amigo? What are we talking about here? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says that in my Rashi's, it's not actually bold, but it's the two dots. Start with the bold, I guess. Rashi says, you see, dechuli ama holich kezachidami. Everybody agrees that the shliach, when he takes it, it's as if Shimon receives it already. Kolomar ba'alma holech kezachidami. In general, the one who sent to go bring it is as if he's being zocha for him. Vim hayum bebatana deleka achreis mod shmuel deinu chozer. And if it was a gift, there's no responsibility. If I was told to send the gift and I lose it, I'm not responsible because no one lost out any money. It was just something additional. So if the guy didn't get his gift, he missed out on a surplus of some sort. So by matana, everyone would agree that if I lose it, there's no responsibility because it's as if Shimon already received it. What's the machlokas here? So Rashi continues to explain. So Shmuel Savar Amir Amigo, we say Amigo Dmitoch Shechai Bachrios in Balach Shechozer. So when it comes to a matana that gets lost by shliach, and then the shliach's not responsible. But let's say he's returning back money that's owed to Shimon. Shimon's owed money, so Reuven sent it. So now if the shliach loses the money along the way, does the shliach have to pay? Yes, because Shimon's losing out the money that he's supposed to get. So he's responsible to pay back that money. So that Rav says he's responsible. But Shmuel says, well, once the shliach is responsible to pay it back, that tells us that the mekabel can never receive it. It's not viewed as if he received it yet. And therefore, the mishalach could always retract. That's the migal that we're saying. So again, normally, holech is kezachidami. Since we're talking about returning back money, a loan of some sort, and the shliach would be responsible, since he's responsible for it, tells us that it's not yet in the possession of Shimon, and that allows the mishlach to retract. That's the migo according to Shmuel. Rav thinks there is no migo. The mishlach can never go back because he still holds, in this case, holich is kezachidami, and therefore it's considered final. Okay, a little bit confusing. The Gemara now says, Tanya kavasei de Rav. There's a brisa that supports the position of Rav, who holds that holich is kezachidami. So what's the case? Holich money leploni. I say, go send this money to Shimon. Shani chayv lo, I owe him. Tein money leploni or shani chayv lo. I say, give this pikadon, this object back to him who I owe. Holich money leploni, pikadon sheyesh li biyadi. Tein money leploni, pikadon sheyesh li biyadi. Chay bachri. So any of these different scenarios that we're talking about, sending money back, sending pikadon back. So the shliach is chayv. So, but if the mishalach wants to retract, you're not able to retract anymore. So this is exactly what Rav said. Rav, who's an Amora, is saying exactly what the Braisa says, that if the shliach loses something along the way, he has to pay back, but at the same time, the mishalach is not able to retract, because the moment the shliach accepts it, holech kizachidam, it's as if already the mekabel received it. So the Gemara says, lema le. So maybe what could happen, maybe the mishalach could say that I didn't want this mafkid to be in someone else's possession. And maybe that's why. Look, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, let's say, lemalei. Rashi, lemalei says, lemalei ha-mishalach. Maybe the mishalach could say, the one who's sending the money, or the bikadon, ein ritzono shel mafkid. It's not the ratzon of the mafkid. Now, the mafkid was the one who gave me the possession. The mafkid gave me something to watch. He gave me, a nice shirt to watch. So maybe the mafkid doesn't want He doesn't want his shirt to be in someone else's possession. He only wants me and him to have this relationship. He let me, or had me watch the shirt, and for me to give the shirt to a third party to bring it to him, he didn't like that. And Rashi continues to explain, the Chayben, the Ein Ritzono, since the Mafkir, again, the owner of the shirt, doesn't want it shirt to be in someone else's hand, Ishtakech, it turns out, the Chov Hulo, it's a Chov Hu. He's upset about this. That's considered a debt, an obligation of some sort. Vein Chovim Lola Adam El Bufanav. So when I give that shirt over to Reuven to bring it over to Shimon, it doesn't work. Reuven can't be Zoche on behalf of Shimon because Shimon doesn't want his pikadon being in someone else's possession. Vamai Einu Chozer Hai Lav Zochi. So why are you not able to be Chozer? I mean, the Brisa said above that when I give the pikadon in the hand of the Shliach, I can't be Chozer anymore, but why not? If the mafkid, the owner of the shirt, doesn't want it being someone else's possession, it can't be viewed as being a zechus for him yet. He can't own it yet, and I should have the right to be chozer. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Rabbi Zeira, kishehuchsuk kafran. So, to talk about a situation where the Mishaleach gave it to, the Mishaleach himself was a huchsuk kafran, the one who was watching it over, and yet still that the Baal, the owner of the Pekadon, gave it to him nonetheless, so certainly he would be okay giving it to a third party. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Kishuchzuk Mishalech Zayot, the Mishalech, the one who's sending back the shirt. He was the one, he was the Shomer initially, but now he's sending it back. He was Huchzuk Kafran, Rashi says, B'Pekadon. He was considered someone who denied, he was a liar. Dan and Sadi, the Nichalei Lebaal of Shiyatsu Mitachas Yado. So the Mishalech, who I was watching over the shirt, let's say, and I was already denying having the shirt for many, many, many years. So the Mafkid wasn't so pleased with me. So the fact that I gave it to Shliach made him very happy. He was happy to get that shirt out of my hand to whoever else was going to take it. He was happy. So that's why in this case, you can't make such a tiny that the Mafkid didn't want it being in the Shliach's hand. So since he wanted it to be in the Shliach's hand, because he wanted it out of my hands, that would be a zechus for him. He's already zochet. And that's why I, as the Mishalech, can no longer retract. Okay, let's go weiter. The Gemara now says the last 8 lines of the Amud here. Rav Sheshes Havalei Ashrasa Desarvali B'machuza. Rav Sheshes had, I think, some type of silk, maybe?
Cloak.
Cloak, okay. So he had some type of cloak that was in Machuza. And the name of the city. So Amar Leil Rav Yosef Bar Chama. He says to Rav Yosef Bar Chama, Bahadi de Asis, when you go to that city, I see ni nali, please bring me, retrieve back that cloak for me. So Azil, Rav Yosef goes, Yahavni Leil, and they give him the cloak that he was looking for on behalf of Rav Sheshes. Amar Leil, so they ask Rav Yosef, nickname Minech, please acquire it from you. Who's talking here?
They want a kinyan so that they're free of the whole thing.
So we're no longer watching this object, it's yours. You know, take responsibility.
Right.
So Amr Lahu in. He says, sure, I have no problem doing that. I'm willing to take that responsibility. It's off your hand, I'll take it back to Rav Sheshes. Lasof in the end of the day, Ishtame Lahu. So they ended up not making a kinyan. They got busy, they got caught up with something, no kinyan was ever made. So Kiyasa Lagave, so when he went back, Rav Yosef went back to Rav Sheshes, Amalei, so Rav Sheshes told him, Shapir Avdas Delo Shavis Nafshecha Ever Lover Lishmava. This was a good decision you made that you avoided making the Kinyan, so you wouldn't make yourself an Ever Lover Lishmava. You don't want to have to be serving these individuals. You were doing a wonderful thing by bringing me back my cloak, but to be responsible for that, that'd be unnecessary. And that they invoke the pasuk initially, Ever Lova Lishmava, that in general, the Lova, the one who borrows, is considered the Eved to the bank. So they're just invoking that pasuk here that you don't want to ever make yourself to be an Eved and to be responsible for something that you don't really need to be responsible for. Lishna Achmina, a slightly different version, what Rav Sheshes said to Tov Rav Yosef was, Shapri Avdas, it was good what you did, that you didn't accept the Achvayos, Ever Lova Lishmava. So, pretty similar versions of the story here. Okay, the Gemara now says in the bottom last 2 lines of the Amud here, Rabbi Achi, Rabbi Yoshia, Havalei Ispaka, Dekaspa, Ben Harda, he had, Rashi says, the last word is a kli. He had a silver utensil, silver pot, silver cup, that was in the harda. And Amar Lahu, so again, who's talking here? This is Rabbi Acha. So Rabbi Acha says now, L'Rabbi Dustai, Rabbi Anai, L'Rabbi Yossi, Bar Kippar, I guess two of his Talmidim perhaps, he says to them, Behadi da Asiyu, they're apparently going to Naharda. When you go there, Asiyu al Nehili, please retrieve that Kli, that silver Kli back. Azul Yahavle Nele, he went over to this place Naharda, and he asked for the Kalim, and they gave it to him. Amrile nickname Minaychu, so they said to him, could you please acquire, take responsibility, we want this off our hands, take it please, and it's all yours. Amrilehu, so they say back to the people of Naharda, lo, we're not willing to take that responsibility, this is very expensive, if we lose it, we don't have to pay that cost. Amrilehu, so Hajin and Ellen, so if that's the case, give it back to us. We're not giving you, if you're not willing to take responsibility, we're not going to appoint you the Shliach to return it back to Rabbi Acha. So Rabbi Dusai, Rabbi Yana, Amrilehu, in. So he's willing, okay, sure, take it back, it's all yours. Fine. So then, however, Rabbi Yossi Bar Kippur, Amrilehu, lo. He said, I'm not willing to give it back. I want to hold on to it. My Rabbi Acha told me to retrieve it. I'm going to retrieve it. Havak Mitzarle, they started giving him a lot of tsaros, the people of Naharda. And Amalu Chazi Mar Hechika Avid. So now they look over to Rabbi Dusai, who is willing to give up the cup. He says, look what your friend's doing. He's not giving us the cup back. What's the deal with him? So Amalu, so Rabbi Dusai now throws him under the bus and says, Tav Ramile, good, you know, you should hit him also. If he's not giving it back to you, start beating him. So eventually it sounds like he gave back the kos. And then Kiasa Legave, when they went back to Rabbi Acha now, they said, I'm sorry, we couldn't get it from them, they're too rough. Amle Chazimar, so now the Rabbi Yossi Bar Kippur, who was not willing to give it up initially, I don't know if he actually got beaten, but he says to his Rabbi Acha, Chazimar lo mistai l'sai, not enough, it wasn't enough that he didn't help me, but he wasn't trying to protect me. El Amar Le Nami Tavi Ramilo, he told the guys to start hitting me. What kind of a Talmud is this? So Amar Le, so Rabbi Achi looks over at Rabbi Dustai and says, Amai Tavi Dahachi, why did you do this? Why did you do this to Rabbi Yossi? Amar Lem, he says, what am I supposed to do? Osam Bnei Adam, those people living in Harda were Hein Ama. They were, Rashi explains, Anshi Midos Gvom Bekoma, the very tall, big people. The Kovan Ama, and then their hats were an Ama. Rashi says, Kovan Ama, Af Mabushein Mu Yomim Mishar Bnei Adam. They had these types of clothing that made people scared. I don't know, they're wearing, black leather and like spikes coming out or something like that. Very scary, like bikers. And Umidabin Mechatzayin, they were speaking from their halves, which Rashi explains to mean Midivrei Mechatzayin, Kolomer Kolon Ava, the very deep voices. Venira Bedibor Yotzim Mitibor, and it sounded like it was coming out of their stomachs. I don't know what that means. But they're deep voices, that much I understand. Coming out of their stomach, I guess it came from a very low place in their body. So they were they spoke, they were tall, they had scary voices, they had scary clothing. And not only that, Shmosei and Muvalin, also their names were disgusting names. They were called Arda, Ve'arta, Opili, Pili Beresh, is that part of the name? Pili Beresh? Okay. Opili Beresh? I don't know what these names mean to know how scary they are. But they were scary names. Everything about them was scary. So then he says to them, Omrim Kfusin Kofsin, Omrim Harugin Harugin. So they're saying, you know, tie him up. They're saying, kill him, kill him. There really is a big gang. They're scaring us. So I say, Ilu Hargus Dustai. If they say, kill Dustai, he was referring to himself. Me Nasan Lianai Abba Bar Kvosi. Is Yanai, my father, going to have another child like me? There's no replacement for me. I can't give my life up just for a silver cup. So Amalei Bnei Adam Halalu Krovim Lemalchusin. So he asks, were these people, these individuals, close to the government? Amalei Hen, yes, they were. Yeshlen Susim Upradim Shiratim Acherim. Did they have horses and donkeys, mules, following them? Amalei Hen, they did. Amalei Ihachi Shapir Avdas. If that's the case, they were certainly powerful people. It was a good thing that you avoided them and you gave back the silver cup. Don't start with people. People on bikes and motorcycles, Harley Davidsons, don't start with these people. Stay far, far away. And good thing that you did this. Okay. Gemara now says, Holech money le ploni. So going back to the discussion of if you send money to ploni, v'halach u'bikshu v'lamatsu. So the guy, the shliach, goes off. He's sent on a mission to find Reuben. He goes ahead and looks for Reuven, asking all around, and he can't find Reuven. So what happens to the money now? Tani chada yichazir l'mishalech. One opinion says it goes to the mishalech, the one who sent it. He was looking to send the money to Reuven. He couldn't find Reuven, so he goes back to the owner of the money. That seems to be quite logical. Tani idach, yet another brisa tells us, liyorshe mishin ishalchulo. No, apparently Reuven must have died to find one of his relatives who could be yorish the money that was sent to Reuven. That also seems very sensible. So what's the machlokas? Lema baha kamiflagi. Maybe the following is the way to understand the machlokas. Demar savar holich kazachi, umar savar holich lav kazachi. When I send money with a shliach and he's being holich, is he being zoch on behalf of Reuven or not? So if you assume he's being zoch on behalf of Reuven and he can't find Reuven, so you give it to the yorshim, because if not Reuven is zoch, the yorshim are going to be zoch the money. The other opinion fell that no, that holich is lav kazachi damim. And if it never reaches the hands of Reuven, Reuven's never kone it, and it's my money, it comes back to me. That's the machlokas. So comes along Amar Rabbi Abba, Bar Mamel, Dechuli Amma Holech Lav Kazachi. Now really everybody holds, sending the shlichas is not Kazachi Dami. It's not going to be Zoch on behalf of Reuven. Velo Kasha, it's not Kasha. Ha Bivari Hari Bishach Shchemira. Depends on the Mishalech, whether the Mishalech was healthy or not. So Rashi explains, what's this machlokas here? So, Bishchimera Rashi, it's around 10 narrow lines down in Rashi, he says, Bishchimera, she calls man shelo chazer bo dvarav kiksuvim kumisurim. So long as the Shchimera, the Mishalech, doesn't retract his words, even though it's only words, it's as if they're written and signed and finalized. V'holach di dei zachi. And in his case, again, the point of Shchimera is that we don't want the Shchimera to be concerned, he's very ill. And even the slightest point could maybe really have him die. So he wants to give money to so-and-so. He wants to give money to Reuven. And we're concerned if it doesn't happen, that aggravation is going to cause him to die. So when he says something, we trust it and we view it as if it's written and done. It's complete. So when the Mishlech sends the money, and when he's a Shchimera, it's already considered a Holech as a Kizachi Dami. That's in the case where he's Zocha. And therefore, if they can't find Reuven on the other end of the line, they could look for his Yorshim, because Reuven was already Zocha the moment the Shchimera has said a statement. But if he's talking about a Bari, a person who was healthy, then we hold Holech Lav Kazachi Dami, and that's why if they can't find Reuven, it just goes back to the Mishalech, because nothing, no Kinnin took place yet. Then comes along Rav Zvid. Rav Zvid back at the Gemara now says, no, Amar Hava Hava Shchimira. Both scenarios are talking about Shchimira, a person who's dying. It depends. Was Reuven, the Mekabah, was he alive when the Shchimira said a statement? So the Pinin thinks that, the one who thinks that if they can't find Reuven, it goes to Reuven's Yorshim, that is referring to a case where Reuven was alive when the Shchimira said a statement. So when he's alive, we said already before that when a Shchimira says something, it's already considered done. It's considered complete. So if Reuven was alive, Reuven already owned it, though he never received the money, but in terms of acquisitions, ownerships, he owned the money. And when they couldn't find Reuven, they gave it to his Yorshim. But the other case was, no, Reuven already had died when the Shchimira said, send it to Reuven. So since Reuven already died, that kinyan never took place. Reuven was not alive for the zechus to take place. And that's when we say it goes back then to the Mishalech, to the Shchimira. Comes on Rav Papa. Now Rav Papa suggests another answer. Rav Papa Amar, Hava Hava Bibari, both cases where the Mishalech is healthy. Had the Mase Makaba Bechaye, no same Had the Mase, no same Bechaye Makaba. One case is where the Mekabel died during the life of the Nosein. And one is where the Nosein died during the life of the Mekabel. So how does this play out? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Hava Hava Bari, both cases is where they're healthy. V'holech didei lav kizachi dami. And sending a shliach is not considered a zechus. It's not a zechus until the Mekabel actually receives it. So what's Machlokas? So seemingly then, if they can't find Reuven, so the money should go back to the Mishalech. So when would there be a case that the money does not go back to the Mishalech? So how did Mase Mekabel b'chai Nosein, says Rashi, when the Mekabel dies during the life of the Nosein, Yechazu l'Mishalech, the money reverts back to the Mishalech, d'lo zocha ben Mekabel. Mekabel never received it, he never was zocha. V'afilu Mase HaNosein b'chazir HaShliach, let's say the Shliach on the way back, then the Nosein, the giver, dies. Ein kamishum mitzvah l'kayim divrei mase. You don't have to listen to the divrei mase because what he commanded you to do and follow through and give it to Reuven's Yorshim. Shekodem mitzaso batla devar mishas mitzas of Mekabel. Okay, side point. Don't want to get into that right now. But v'had katani liyorshe mishes shenishalchulo. But so when there a case, if we're saying holech is lav kazachidamim, and when the guy sends a shliach, the Sheikh is not Zocha on behalf of the Makabo. So when is there ever going to be a situation where the Sheikh will be Zocha to the Makabo, and if he can't find the Makabo, he gives it to the Yorshin? So Rashi explains, the Mace Nosin, it's where the Nosin, the giver, died. La'achar shemas l'shliach. So Reuven gave money to the Shliach, and then Reuven dies, the Mishalech dies. V'adai Makabel chai, the Makabel is still alive. Hokach mishas misas hanosim, when the Nosin, the giver, dies, zochav ha-Makabel, this money now is kind of in limbo. It can't, it's not owned by the deceased now, so it has to go back to the one that he sent it over to, that is going to be in the possession of the Makabel. Mishum de mitzvah lekayim divrei mace, because there's a halacha that when the mace says something, before he dies, he has a will. He says, I want this to happen, so when he dies, you have to follow through with his will. And therefore, it goes, the zechus already exists, even though Reuven never receives it, it's just his. And then by the time they get to Reuven's house, Reuven dies afterwards, then they give it to the Yorshei Ha'av. That is Rav Papa's understanding of this machlokas. Okay. Gemara now says, Lema, let's suggest maybe that Holech is Kazachi. Maybe Holech really is Kazachi. So when I give money to Shliach to give to Reuven, Reuven really should be Zocha at the moment the Shliach receives this. Why? That's a Tanahi. It's really Tanahi. How is it we see this as being a Tanahi? The Tanya, Holech, money leploni, send money to Reuven, Holech, ubakshu, and the Shliach goes and can't find him. Bikshu, he looks for him, he can't find him. Filomatu. He looks and can't find him. Yechazu l'mishalech, it goes back to the mishalech. But let's say Mace mishalech, let's say the mishalech dies. So now where does it go? They try to send it back to the mishalech, but he's dead also. Now both ends, the mishalech and the makabler are both dead. So Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Yaakov Amru, they both say, Yechazu l'yorsh mishalech, so find one of the inheritors of the mishalech, because the makabler never received it, so it's still considered as part of the estate of the mishalech. The Yesh Omim, however, there are those who say, no, Li Yorshe Mi Shenishtal Chulo. You should look for the Yorshim of the ones who is sent to the Makabel. That's who should really receive it, the Yorshe Makabel. And yet a third opinion says, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi Omer Mishim Rabbi Yaakov Shemar Mishim Rabbi Meir Mitzvah Lakayim Divrei HaMeis. It's a mitzvah to listen to the Meis's requests. The Gemara is going to explain all these different opinions. The Chacham Omer Yachloku, you should divide it. The Kan Amru Komash Yitzu Shliach Yase, and here is what they say: is you do whatever the Shliach wants. So there's a lot of different opinions that are going on here. We're going to have to explain each one of them, and we're not done yet. There's still an Amru Bishuman Nanasi Al Yidei Hayadi Hayamaisi. One time there was a Maisa that took place that I was involved in. He says, "Vamru," they said, "Yichazu Liyarshim Mishleach," and they said, "Return it back to the Mishleach." So again, the scenario is, where both the Makabel died and the Mishalech dies, what do you do with the money? Yachloku, you say it goes back to the Mishalech's family. Does it go to the Yarshish, the Makabel's family? Does the Shliach decide what to do with it? So a lot going on here. The Gemara wants to know. So my love, Baha Kamiflagi, are they not arguing about the following? The Tanakama suffered, the Tanakama holds, the Tanakama was the one that they felt that the money should go back to the Mishalech. That's what I thought was most logical. They sent it to the Makabel died. So the money goes back to the Mishleach, and even though the Mishleach died, it goes back to his family. So the Gemara says, what's the Machlokas here again? So, the Tanakam is over, Holech Lav Kazachi. When the Mishleach sends the money in the hands of the Shliach, there's no kin in there, there's no Zechus that exists. That money still is considered an extension of the initial Mishleach. And then if the Makabel is dead, it goes back to the Mishleach's family. And according to Rabbi Nosson of Yaakov, who held that what? That the money goes back to the Yorsh Mishaleach, Nami Holech Lav Kazach. I'm sorry. The Tanakhama that we're saying here is that if the Makabel dies, it goes back to the Mishaleach. Rabbi Nassim was the case. Let's say the Mishaleach also dies. So Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Nassim say it goes back to the family of the Mishaleach. He also holds that Holech is Lav Kazach Hidami. It goes back to either the Mishaleach or the family of the Mishaleach. Even though the Mishleach dies, lo amrinan mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. We don't say you have to go ahead and didn't the Mishleach want the money to go to Reuven, and if not Reuven, it should go to his family. We don't say mitzvah l'kayim divrei meis. The Yesh Omrim, the other opinion, the Yesh Omrim in the Brisa who says that the money should go back to the Yorshei Shenishalchulo, it should go back to the Makabel's family, they hold Holech it's Kizachi. Because the moment the Mishleach gave it to the Shliach was Zoche on behalf of the Makabel, and even though the Makabel is dead, and even though the Mishalach is dead, it still is already, the Zuchus already took place, and you have to find the Yorshim of the Makabel. What about Rabbi Huda and Nasi? Rabbi Huda and Nasi, Amar Mishum Rabbi Yaakov, Shamar Mishum Rabbi Meir, who held that what should happen? They held that Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Mace. If the Mace wanted to go to the Makabel, so you have to listen to him. So Holich Lav Kazachi, really there is no Zuchus. The Shliach is not going to be Zoch on behalf of the Makabel. However, the reason you still have to send back to the Makabel is Mihu Meheicha the Mace Amrina Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Mace. When the Mishliach dies, there's another concept. Another concept of the Mitzvah Lekayim Divrei Mace. And since he requested that that be taken, that that be done, you have to follow through and make sure you find the Makabel's family to receive the money. And then comes on Chachamim Omrim Yachloku. They say to divide everything up. Half to the Yorshe HaMishleach, half to the Yorshe Makabel. Why? Because Masafkalu, they're not really sure. There's such a confusing case. Who gets it? Which family gets it? So they think the best practice is to do a Yachloku to divide it. Rashi explains, what's the Safek here? Rashi, a few narrow lines up, he says, Masafkalei ikazachi dami ilo. Firstly, they're not sure if the Shliach is Zoch on behalf of the Makabel or not. That's Safek 1. And there's a second Safek here, that Mitzvah Lekayim ilo. And after the Mishleach dies, is there a mitzvah to follow through with his request? Or is there not a mitzvah to follow through with the request? So that's a double suffix here that actually exists. Okay, interesting. There is a, in light of this, if you look at Tosos for a second, Tosos Dibur Maschah V'Chachamim Omrim. Chachamim Omrim Yachloku. Chacham said, we don't know what to do, you therefore divide. He says, "Kol teku shabashas mifarish b'sharim." The Rabbeinu Hai in the Svarim of Rabbeinu Hai, he says, anytime there's a suffix in the Gemara, Hai dechalkin, you divide. You don't know what to do. Two people are arguing. You divide it. They nearly read. The Re argues. The Bai Tosfos argue on the Rav Hai. Elahecha the Ashkham behed yachloku. Only where you find it explicitly where they say yachloku. The other Abba, if it had not been for this where it says Yechogu, Omrim Oki Mamona Becheskes Mari. Always we keep the money in the where it's status quo is whoever owns it. You don't ever remove money unless you know for sure. It always remains status quo as opposed to always applying Yechogu. So this is, it sounds like a very meaningless Tosas, but I think there's a lot of depth to it in terms of the alumnus of Yechogu. It's based on the Sugyas in the beginning of Baba Metzia. Whenever you find Yechogu, you could raise the following question. Is Yechogu a pshara? Is it a compromise? Which Yachloku really a din itself. So let's say the Gemara in Bava Metzia is talking about there's a talis that was found on the floor, it was lost, and both of us pick it up together. And the halacha is, we say Yachloku, we divide the talis in half. Half for me, half for you. So is that because we both have an equal share? That's the din. I have half, you have half. Or is it because we don't know? We don't know the answer. No one has any share, and therefore, just to be fair and have a pshara, we divide it in half. So it sounds like Rav Hai thought that Yachloku was a pshara. It's not a din. Whenever there's a suffix, just the best solution is to divide things in half. It just say this way, each party walks away with something. But according to Tosfos, says no, we can't just apply yachloku all over the place wherever there's a suffix. Yachloku is only a din. It's only a din where it's appropriate, where we both have an equal claim and equal ownership. Then we apply yachloku. But to say yachloku applies whenever we don't know the answer, that's not the din. Yachloku is actually a din. It's we rightfully own half and half. It's not to solve any time there's a dispute. And that's perhaps the machlokus here between Rav Hai and the Re, how to understand this din of Yachloku. Okay, back down to the Gemara now. The Gemara says, two Y lines down, the Kan Amru, Shudu Dedaini. So again, the Chachamim in the Braisa told us that Yachloku, normally they say Yachloku, but here we should say, do whatever the Shliach wants. That's what the Chachamim was Mechadish. So what do you mean, do whatever the Shliach wants? So it says the Gemara, that's Shudu Dedaini. Shudu Adif, Shudu is better. What does it mean, Shudda's Adif? What's Shudda the Daini? So Rashi explained, this is three, four lines up from the narrow lines, and Rashi says, Shudda, Ra'os Einav Shashliach. Whatever the Shliach decides to do, let the Shliach. Shliach was the one who was appointed by the Mishleach to find the Mikabel, so he somehow knew both parties, he understood the case better than anybody else. Let him make the right decision, who he thinks, what the Mishleach really wanted. The Mishleach maybe only wanted to give it to Reuven and nobody else, not to the Yerushim. We don't know what happened. Let the Shliach decide. So Rashi, we look at Tosfos now. Tosfos writes, "V'kan amru shud adif." Mikan medaktik Rabbeinu Tam. From here, Rabbeinu Tam wanted to learn de'ain lefarish shudah kimoshi pirish bekunchis beperek hakosi. Rashi and Tosfos had this machlokas. What this should do to Dani? The word doesn't, the Dani doesn't appear here, but the Gemara Bamatzia, Baba Basra, and one other place, says should the Dani. This big machlok is what should the Dani means. Does it mean arbitration, arbitrarily just giving whoever they want? Or it's based on some investigation and research who really rightfully owns this more? So Tosus learns from this Gemara here, again, Mikan, from this Gemara, this Sugya, Medakti Rabbeinu Tam, Rabbeinu Tam was careful in the reading, the Ein Lafarish don't explain Shuda Kimoshi Perish Bakunchis Beperka Kosim in the Gemara and Ksubas. Gavish Shneim Krovim Shneim Shchein Shneim Talmidei Chachamim Shuda Daini. Whatever the context there is, Rashi says, Hainu She Dakte Kadainis Mihaya Oiv Yoser, Hu Mihaya Medaita Litain. Rashi says, what it means, Shuda Daini means the Dayanim should look into the case and try to figure out what the intention of the Mishleach was. The Kanami Perish Bakunchis Kamohas, and Rashi says the same thing also. Let the Shliach, who's serving as a dayan now, let him figure out what the Mishlech really wanted. It's not completely arbitrary. It's with some level of research. So Rabbi Tam says, based on the sugya, it can't be like what Rashi says. Ella, Tosus concludes, Yitin Hadayin, Limisha Yirtze, Kiyacha, the Kamar, Mashi Yirtze Shliach, Yasev, Vakar Leshuda. Do whatever you want. Just do, pick it out of a hat. That's what it means. The Gemara says, Kimushi Yirtze, whatever the Shliach wants. It doesn't say the Shliach should do investigation and research. He's in a good mood. That guy, Reuven, was a nice guy, so he wanted to give Reuven the money. Or he liked the guy, the Makabel, so it seems like a very nice guy. His family needed it, send the money to the Makabel. But not based on any actual understanding and rayas and research. So that's the big machlokas, Rashi Tosus in general, how to understand Shudu Dedani. And this, again, this proof, the sugya, is one of the proofs to Rabbi Tam. That means, do whatever you want, and completely arbitrarily give to whichever party you please. Okay, should we keep going right to here? All right, let's go. We still have 15 minutes. So Gemara says now, two wide lines down, Rabbi Shimon, Hanasi, Maisa, Asla Shimonan. So Rabbi Shimon just telling us stories? We don't just tell stories. We know we have halachas here. There's a Rav Soloveitchik was very fond of saying, I think it's at the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah of the Rambam. There's a very, very long Rambam telling the whole history of Avodah Zarah. It seems completely unnecessary because the Rambam's a book of halachas, not a book of, it's not a storybook. So Rav Soloveitchik, I think, had a pshat. He had a pshat elsewhere, maybe by Chanukah, where they tell us a little bit about the story of the Chashmonaim. He had a pshat why the Rambam had to mention that. So when I was once learning through the Rambam, I found that in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, there was a long story, a whole history the Rambam gives on Hilchos Avodah Zarah. So I asked Rav Asher Weiss, well, what's Peshat here? What's Rambam telling us? What's the halach he's telling us by giving the whole history of Hilchos Avodah Zarah? So Rav Asher Weiss said, I don't find it to be such a problem. The Rambam tells stories sometimes. It's nothing difficult with that. So here the Gemara is telling us that the Brises don't tell a story. They don't just say one time there's a story that Rabbi Shimon had. It must be a chiddush here, a halacha, that it's being taught here. The Gemara says, where do we go here? Maybe that's the point. It's a statement. Rabbi Shimon Hanasi Maisa Asla Shmunin. Rabbi Shimon just tells me the story. Just said this once happened to him, which I guess sounds like sometimes the Brises do tell stories. So the Gemara says, "Lo, the whole discussion we had above about arguing about Kizachi Dami, Lav Kizachi Dami, that's not how to explain the Machlokas at all. Bibari Dechuli Amalo Pligi, when it comes to a healthy Mishalach who sends the money, nobody argues that Holich is Lav Kizachi Dami, and if they can't find the Mikabel, the money goes back to the Mishalach. V'hach B'maya Skinin, what are you dealing with here? B'shchemir, we're talking about a person who's on his deathbed. U'b'plugs the Rabbi Elazar Rabbanan. This is a Talai, on a machlokas tanaim, the time the Mishnah tells us, this Mishnah appears in Baba Basra. Hamechalik nechaz v'alpiv, a person who wants to divvy up his property. Rashi says the last two lines, alpiv alpitzavaso, based on what he tells you, mechalik nechaz v'levanov. He says, I want Reuben to get this amount and Shimon to get that portion and Levi to get that portion. Not the way a normal will is supposed to take place. Halachic will is that when a person dies, everybody gets equal portion other than the Bechor gets double portion. This person wrote a will. He wanted that this person get that part and this person get that part. So the halach is, so Rabbi Elazar and the Mishnah tells us that Omer Echad Bari Echad Mechsukan Nechasim Sheesh Nechayas Nikne Vekesef Vishar B'Chazaka. A person, whether he's healthy or whether he's in a very dangerous state, So any property that has achrayos to them, which means karka, are going to be acquired through the transferring of money or documents or a chazaka, doing a chazaka on the karka. Ushain lehem achrayos, something that does not have achrayos, which is another way of saying metaltlin, movable objects, a nikna elba mashicha. The only way you acquire it is through pulling it. Sounds like that a person gave a tzava, if the father gave a tzava, it would not work. Comes on the chachamim omrim. Not true. Whether it's karka, whether it's amira, it's going to work by an amira, rather, whether it's karka or metaltalin, amira will be enough, the tava to the children will be enough to make sure that they acquire the different properties, the different lands, the different cars, the different metaltalin, all that works. So this is machlokas, again, whether or not you listen to the tava of the father or not. So amulo, the chacham say to Rabbi Elazar, ma'isa b'iman shel b'nei rochel. There's once a story that took place with the mother of Bnei Rochel, referring to a person. And Rochel happens to also be a peddler, but it sounds like we're referring to a person, an individual name who was Rochel. And Shayasa Chola, she was very sick once. Vamra, and she said, Tinase, you should give, Kivinasa. Rashi says it means Nushka, which is, means some type of ornament. Leviti, give that special ornament to my daughter. Vihi b'shem asar mana, and it's the value of 12 mana. Umeis, and she dies. V'kaima chachamim es divareh, and the chachamim held up her words, even though it was an amira alone. So we see, based on this maisa, that an amira alone by a woman, by a man, is able to work, as opposed to Rabbi Elazar says it's not going to be a kinin unless there's actually a maisa kinin. So what was Rabbi Elazar's response? So Amr Lehem, he says back to them, B'nei Rochel, tikburem imam. So he says, they died before their time. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Tikbrim imam, Klalahi, this was a curse. He was cursing them. Kolomar, lo yalu ale velo yizkar bebeis majish l'raya. Don't ever mention this as a raya. This is not a good proof. The vishir shoim hayu. They were evil people. Shayu mekaimin kots and vikarim. They were the ones who used to keep the thorns in the vineyards. Well, the rabbis were climbed into, and that's considered climb. They had some thorns that were overgrowing into the vineyard, and that's an issur of klaim according to Blaz, and they should have cut it down. They didn't cut them down, so they were risham. They're violating averas. Deraisa, v'lo nilman me'rai l'fishol diktaknu behen. They weren't careful in mitzvahs. They didn't follow halachas. So because they did something, don't bring a rai. That's the correct thing to do. Echaisa osa tava shemitoch shei risham lo uskar bebeis medrash. We don't mention them in the, at all. So that's not a rai from what they did. So tikram imam, he was giving them a curse. So the Gemara says now. So Tanakama Karebi Elazar. So going back to our initial Brisa, the Tanakama who said that if they can't find the Mikabel, it goes back to the family of the Mishalach. They felt like Rebbe Elazar that an Amir doesn't work. If the guy gave a Tava and then the guy actually died, it goes back to his family. The Tava is not something we have to follow through with. However, Rebbe Nosson and Rebbe Yaakov who also said the money goes back to the Mishalach, Nami Karebi Elazar. Avagad the mace, and even though the Mashiach had died, lo amrina mitzvah l'kayim divrei mace. We don't say you have to listen to the words of the mace. But the Yesh Omrim, who says that no, they can't find the Mekabel, at least give it to the Yorshei HaMekabel, because they held like the Rabbanon that the Amira that the Mashiach said, that Amira is binding, and you follow through with those words. And then comes along Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, Shamar Mishim Rabbi Meir, Kribal Azar. He held like Rabbi Eliezer, that there is no kinyan yet, miu, but he does hold to the concept, heicha de mace, when the mishnah dies, then you have another concept that comes in, amrinan mitzvah l'kayim divrei mace. So there was no zechus from the halicha, wasn't a zechus, but from the fact that the mishnah dies, then we have this concept of following the word, m'kayim divrei mace. And then the chachamim omrim, yachloku misafkalu, they again say it, they're not really sure what the halacha is, and therefore they say just divide it between the family of the mishnah and the family of the mekabel. And Mekam Amru, Shuda Dedaini. So in general they say Yachloku, but here in this case they say Shuda Dedaini, whether it means arbitrarily giving it or what it means doing some research, like Rashi said. And finally the Gemara says, Rabbi Shimon Hanasi Maisa Asla Shimon, he's just telling us once he had a Maisa and he followed in a certain way. So a completely different way to understand this Machlokas, this second approach. Okay, so we'll stop here. Have a wonderful day, wonderful week.